Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The UAW strike against General Motors is heading toward the three-week mark, casting giant clouds over this bargaining table, the chaos over possible impeachment, the gloomy state of affairs for manufacturing, and the deepening federal corruption probe into top UAW leadership. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here with us for our weekly check-in. Daniel, I want to start with the new reporting that you've done with your colleague Robert Snell about the corruption probe. Tell us what's happening.
Well, two top leaders in the UAW, former Secretary of Treasury Gary Castile and a guy by the name of Danny Troll, who was a deputy out in Region 5, where the president, Gary Jones, came from, are cooperating witnesses with the federal authorities in this continuing investigation. We reported that, actually, I think it posted last night in the Detroit News and is in print editions this morning. This is, I think, yet another turn of the screw. These individuals were mentioned but not identified in the criminal charges against Vance Pearson, who was the director of Region 5, which stretches from St. Louis all the way out to California. It's 17 states, huge region. And it was that region that sponsored the annual Palm Springs Conference that was supposed to be a 3 to 4 day thing, but for the top leadership, it ended up being, in some cases, a month or more of having poolside villas and going out to fancy steak dinners and buying $60,000 worth of cigars and cigar cutters, $400 bottles of Cristal champagne, and the list goes on and on and on. And this was all done with union money, not the corporate money that was involved in the training center scandals, which just kind of began this whole thing.
Okay, so it started with that, the different convictions that we watched happen at FCA, and that was different. So this is peeling the skin of the onion?
Yes, and I think you've gone from the training center monies, which are bargained with the companies, it's company money, into these things that were using union money, and the union is essentially funded two ways. One, through the training centers, which are separate entities legally, and then through dues money that comes in from members all over the country.
These members who are right now the General Motors members who are getting $250 a week in strike
pay. Exactly right.
We do need to note that current President Gary Jones and past President Dennis Williams have not been charged with any crimes.
Correct.
The feds are referring to them by pseudonyms. But your report with Robert Snell does spell out quite a list of potential crimes the federal prosecutors are exploring. What are those?
Well, I think they're looking at things like money laundering, wire fraud, various kinds of fraud. The list is fairly long. And
I saw embezzlement, bribes, kickbacks.
Kickbacks. I mean, we expect that there's going to be additional indictments coming, but we don't know that for sure, obviously. There have been various individuals who've been named by pseudonyms in federal documentation, so it's really a kind of a question of whether these people are cooperating and to what extent they're cooperating and what effect that will have on their prosecution and or sentencing.
And you're reporting that it's a former deputy, Danny Troll, and a retired UAW Secretary Treasurer, Gary Castile. How important are these two individuals and their knowledge to this investigation?
Well, I think in the case of Gary Castile, his Secretary Treasurer, I mean, there are only two officers in the United Auto Workers who are essentially represent nationally, the president and the secretary treasurer. The vice presidents who head the departments for General Motors, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler, in some cases, rank a little bit below. Now, they're all members of the International Executive Board, which is 15 or 16 members who essentially run the union as the management, but also as the overseer. So they don't really have a clear governance structure like you would see, say, in a corporation where you have a board of directors and then you have management that is overseen by the board of directors. In their case, they have one board.
If you just joined us, I'm speaking with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes as we look at the clouds that are looming over the bargaining table as the UAW and General Motors strike moves toward week three. So that's the corruption cloud. Let's shift to, as you put it in your column today, impeachment chaos and economic churn. Starting with the impeachment chaos, what are we seeing? What more are we seeing as this moves forward?
Well, I mean, I think the car companies, it's interesting, you know, the president has been very strong, as he would say, in his support of the auto companies and a lot of the people who work for them. He's badgered them from time to time about decisions that they've made. But in general, I think he sees them as emblematic of the industrial Midwest that delivered him to the White House. And he also has said, look, I'm gonna rewrite NAFTA. Everybody hates NAFTA. I hate NAFTA. Well, here we are. NAFTA 2.0 has been written. That's called the U.S. USMCA, but it's stuck in Congress and it's stuck in the House.
Well, and as a matter of fact, yesterday when Nancy Pelosi held that press conference, she started by talking about the need to work and move ahead on the USMCA. She even charged reporters, ask me questions. Don't ask me questions about the impeachment investigation. Ask me about USMCA.
Well, fine. And she's also said that she's going to hold up USMCA to answer the concerns of her members, which basically means they're going to insist on rewriting pieces of it. And the president has said, I'm not rewriting it. And he's made veiled threats that he not only would he not rewrite it, if they wouldn't pass it, he would just start levying tariffs on Canadian and Mexican vehicles that are imported into the United States, which, by the way, are built by Detroit companies.
Right. And I'm going to say and talk like that is sending shudders through executive ranks at the automotive companies.
So to the point here. These companies are sitting here looking at this chaos in Washington and thinking, we're not going to get any clarity here. We're not going to get any clarity on a NAFTA 2.0. We're not going to get any clarity on emissions and what the emissions regs are going to be. Trump wants one thing. California wants another. Mm-hmm. Ford has cut a deal with California. General Motors is sitting back and watching. So, it's a mess. I mean, and the reason they have so little clarity, they can't even set some of their MPG targets, I'm told, for 2021, which is not very far away. So there's a lot of things here that are just on hold. And, you know, they're trying to negotiate a new four-year contract where you have the companies wanting maximum flexibility and the union wanting maximum security. And if you look at the situation, you can see both sets of the argument. The unions want maximum security because they don't know what's going to change in the next 2 or 3 years. And the companies want maximum flexibility because they figure things are going to change and we're going to have to deal with it.
And as you point out, September was the worst month for U.S. manufacturing in more than a decade. I have seen the terms manufacturing recession being used.
Yeah, and there's just a report that came out this morning, I believe, on the service sector, and it's soft as well, and the market's tanking again.
So you say the new normal is chaos.
The new normal, I think, at least through the end of this administration, is going to be some degree of chaos. And, you know, one of the reasons you're seeing this slowdown in manufacturing is business is not making investments because they don't know what kind of environment they're going to be making the investments in and where they're going to be 12 or 18 or 24 months. You know, some people say, well, business always, yes, they hate uncertainty. It's easy to blow that off, but it is a critical component in decision making.
So when we talk about, as you point out in your column today, these contracts that right now these negotiators are trying to work out for UAW and General Motors, they are not historically built to cope with these rapid changes. Where does this go?
Well, that's the real question, and we're kind of stuck here watching this and getting dribs and drabs of information. You've got the union leadership trying to negotiate something, yet the president is his credibility has been really damaged by the ongoing investigation. So I think that's been a concern, and they've discussed this at the highest levels of the union. They recognize that this is a problem. And how they're trying to manage their way through it. In fact, there was an executive board meeting, I think 2 days before they sent the folks out on strike. And they were discussing whether or not they needed to make a change at that point. Did somebody need to come in and take over for Gary Jones? And because he could not be leading the negotiations, but they felt we're too close to the deadline here. We don't have anybody that's going to be as up to speed. And we've got to, you know, go with the horse we got, so to speak. And so that's what they're doing. But these contracts, I mean, this is 70, 80 years of tradition, and people have expectations. They're always looking for a little bit more, irrespective of what the macroeconomic environment is. But we're operating in an environment that changes very quickly. You know, we have a global economy. When these contracts were first coming together in the 40s and the 50s, when Walter Reuther was leading the union and they were gaining amazing things in terms of that have become part of the landscape for all of us, whether it's union or non-union, that economy has changed. It's global. It moves very quickly. The United States has rivals economically. It had the Detroit car companies, their foreign automakers sell more vehicles in the United States than the Detroit 3 do. So, I mean, they are not They are not the king of the hill necessarily anymore.
So as the union rightly points to the good times and the good years since they last got anything, and that's correct, you're saying the companies are looking ahead and see a whole bunch of clouds and a whole bunch of uncertainty.
Yeah, and I think the companies, you know, they're happy to share the profits. They're talking about sweetening profit sharing. But what's important for people to remember is that that is variable compensation. So those hourly workers get paid well and get paid profit sharing when the company does well. When it doesn't, they don't get paid. And what they're trying to avoid is having a lot more higher fixed costs. General Motors currently has the highest fixed costs in the industry. They had the highest fixed costs when they went into bankruptcy in 2009. 10 years later, they still have the highest fixed costs.
Did you think we'd be nearing in on 3 weeks with this strike?
I was thinking two, but I think the vibe is such that, frankly, I think we're going to be having this conversation early next week. I suspect we'll go through the weekend, but you know, who knows? These things, once they start to move, they move quickly. Now, what's happening now is they're having multiple what they call flip flops. I give you a proposal, you give me a proposal. That's one flip flop. A flip, a flop. And they've had multiple of those, but they're not there yet.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Hollis. Thanks so much, Daniel.
You bet.